First court today. Thank you all for being here. As we start, I'm going to ask if there is someone who would volunteer to lead in our invocation. Don't be shy. Yes. Would you come up to the mic? Please, thank you.
Lord God of all creation, all human hearts, we ask you to bless each and every one of us. Help us today to come together in peace, joy, and love, and to contribute to the betterment of our county and our country. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Now, if I say the pledges to our flags, to the American flag and the Texas,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. All right. As we begin, let the record reflect that all are present, our commissioners are present today. Do we have an approval of our court agenda? Do we have a motion to approve the court agenda?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Proclamations and resolutions. National Friends of Libraries Week in Montgomery County. Come and share with us.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Whereas Friends of the Libraries groups throughout Montgomery County raise money that enables our library to move from good to great, providing resources for additional programming, resources, much-needed equipment, support of children's summer reading, and special events throughout the year. And whereas the work of Friends groups highlight the fact that our library is the cornerstone of the community, providing opportunities for all to engage in the joy of lifelong learning and to connect with the thoughts and ideas of others from ages past to the present. And whereas the Friends understand the critical importance of well-funded libraries and advocate to ensure that our library system obtains the resources it needs to provide the wide array of services to all ages, including access to print and electronic materials, along with expert assistance in research, reader's advisory, computer training, and youth services. And whereas the Friends' gift of their time and commitment to the library sets an example for all in how volunteerism leads to positive civic engagement and the betterment of the community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County hereby proclaims October 20 to 26, 2019, as Friends of Libraries Week in Montgomery County, and urges everyone to join the Friends of the Library group at their MCMLS branch, and to thank the Friends for all that they do to make our library system and community so much better.
I move.
Well, so thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Jeff? Williams, I have one question. Thank you for bringing the proclamation to us. There's a comment in there that reads, much needed equipment. I'd appreciate it if you could get me a list of what that much needed equipment is, just so I have that in mind for the future.
What they have done is often support programs or services where county funds have not been extended for those. In a recent incident, and I know we talked about this, the AV and sound systems at the Mitchell and South Regional Libraries had been less than what the Friends and the programming had anticipated or would wish for, and the Friends funded the upgrades for those.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
What do you have to do to be a friend of the library? What does that entail?
Well, you can declare yourself a friend, or you can join one of the friends groups, your Magnolia group, the Friends of the Purvis Library. Mm-hmm. Beverly Taylor has been the president of that group, and they conduct used book sales, activities at the libraries. The Meadow Branch Library will be having a used book sale in the next few weeks. The Library Friends of Conroe support the Central Library. So each of the locations throughout the county, the two branches in the Woodlands do have the same friends group, but each of the others have their independent group. All right.
And thank you to the friends.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion to adopt this resolution. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Moving on. County clerk, consider and approve commissioners' court minutes. Commissioners, do we have a motion to accept the minutes from October 8th, 2019?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to our consent agenda. Do we have any modifications?
No, I move with the consent as is.
Okay, thank you. I have got...
Let's hurry up.
Is that a first, maybe a second? Okay, discussion, because I've got three elements.
Oh, man.
I'd like to defer these. Page 5 of 12, this is for Precinct 1, 9I1B. 9I1B, under Precinct 1. And we're just going to defer that, consider and approve the final plat of Summer Chase.
Oh.
And then...
Commissioner Metter, you want to defer that?
What is it I was saying?
It was consider and approve...
9E1?
9I1B is what I was given.
Why are we deferring that?
Huh?
Dan, can you...
Yes, sir. Commissioner, that wasn't...
Okay.
It's not ready.
For what reason?
The item was...
Dan, could you come up to the... Dan, excuse me, can you come up to the microphone, please, so
We need to move all this before we start talking about all this, I think, don't we?
Yeah.
The item was noticed incorrectly. It was intended to actually be placed into the one-year maintenance period and not a final plat. And so what we chose to do was to defer it and then correct that on the next agenda.
Okay, if we can.
I'll get with the after court.
Okay.
Because I don't understand.
So...
The plat has already been approved in the past.
Yeah, this road's been there for years and years.
Right.
I was just going to take it into the system.
Right. Yeah, we were going to actually place it into the one-year maintenance period.
Okay, so as we make a motion, if there is discussion, if we could continue with the discussion.
We'll talk later.
Okay. So we'll defer 9I1B, page 5 of 12, and then under emergency management, we want to defer 9N2. And 9N4, page 7 of 12. We want to defer those. Is there anything else?
2 and 4?
Yes, 2.
Got it.
N2 and N4, page 7 of 12.
So I amend my motion to approve the consent agenda with the deferral of I...
With modifications.
Yeah, with the three modifications that you
mentioned. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. Let's move to our open agenda. And as we do that, Anna Cosio is going to talk to us. And this is at the point where we have the opportunity to listen to our citizens. Anna, we allow for 3 minutes. There is not an exchange of conversation or two, as is not noticed as a town meeting. So, yeah.
Oh.
only one that was completed.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Anna Casillo. I live in the Woodlands, specifically in the subdivision of Windsor Hills. And I'm going to go ahead and go through some of the papers that I've passed on to you. On June the 10th, 2019, the Jones Forest Preservation Act was signed by Governor Abbott, and it took effect on September the 1st. It was introduced with companion bills and represented by both Senator Creighton with Senate Bill 345 and by Representative Steve Toth, House Bill 792. Though Representative Toth's Bill 792 was held in the committee, Senator Creighton's did make it, and it was officially signed by our Governor Abbott. So if you look at the bill, which is the next page that you have in your handout, I want to read a little bit from there. It says, Jones State Forest must remain natural, scenic, undeveloped, open in a manner that maintains the tree canopy cover of the forest. No statute, rule, policy, or ordinance may be enforced with respect to the territory of Jones State Forest other than a statute, a rule, or a policy or an ordinance that protects and conserves the natural resources or air quality or water quality of Jones State Forest. I also wanted you to pay attention to some of the writing at the bottom of the bill that shows that in the Senate, it was voted unanimously 31-0. In the House, it was 118 votes, 26 nays, and there were a couple that were present and not voting. So this is something that has an overwhelming majority of favorableness throughout the entire state of Texas with all the senators and representatives. So the irony of this, with the next sheet that I passed out to you, is that the city of Conroe advertises all the time in all their birding magazines. I supplied one sheet that has it. This is my another magazine that I get, and there are constant advertisements to entice the economy for people to come here and go birding and enjoy our state forest. So it's ironic to me because the commissioner's court in the past, it has never publicly stated that they respect Jones State Forest. They have never removed the Gosling Road extension from the approved South County Mobility Plan. The roads within Jones Forest are for the park staff. They are to control wildfires. They are to conduct controlled burns because this is a working forest. It's not to be developed. So I am here today requesting that the Commissioner's Court go on record by resolution or whatever means you publicly do announce and unanimously state that you support your governor, you support your senator, you support your representatives, and all the residents that want this Gosling extension publicly to be removed from the South County Mobility Plan and any future plans that would connect Gosling Road running north to 1488. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Great job.
Thank you for coming in.
Just in time.
Good job. All right, thank you. As we move on to item number 11, if we can, please. Precinct 5. Constable?
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Today I'd like to ask you to consider and approve an exemption to Montgomery County Policy 5.1 through 5 through 5.1 through 9, authorizing payment to non-exempt certified peace officers and exempt certified peace officers utilizing state and federal funding in the form of grants or slotted funds for overtime at a rate of 1.5 times his or her regular rate when any accrued time is utilized during overtime computation. Any match required would come from the individual department.
Can you give us some explanation as to exactly what
that is? Right now on our state grants, whether it be a DWI grant or any kind of step grant that we have, if they take a day off, like a sick day earlier in the week or anything like that, and then come back and work that weekend on a DWI grant or something like that, this makes us where they get paid at a regular time. So what we're asking is to be able to, if they use accrued time that they already have off, that they have already earned to get off, and then they come back and work over those 80 hours, they should be able to make the 1.5 rate.
Well, that applies to everybody in the county right now. So all of my
already,
staff, yeah. if they take paid time off during a 2-week period and a storm comes and they have to work 12 hours, the first 8 hours are going to be at regular time. I mean, I'm not sure.
But then they wouldn't have to use that other time, right? Is that correct?
No, they would still use their vacation time, and they wouldn't get overtime on that first amount.
Well, a lot of that time's up to the first 80 hours. They wouldn't use that time if they went over. Like currently now, if it's not granted funds or anything, and they go over their 80 hours, if they have used a sick day but went over their 80 hours, not incurring sick funds, they wouldn't have to use that sick time at that time, or vacation time.
And I guess I'm concerned about exempt employees getting overtime. I mean, that's the whole point of being exempt, regardless of where the funding comes from.
And I understand that. And if that's a hold back on it, we can take that off there for now. We were looking at lieutenants and having supervisors out while we're working some of these grants.
Who is this for? All law enforcement?
This is for all law enforcement. We've talked to all the other agencies involved.
And when you say exempt, are you talking about chiefs, constables?
We were mainly headed towards lieutenants, because we have some lieutenants that would come out, yes.
But Commissioner, the item does read exempt, so yes. That would cover the constable, it would cover the chief, it would cover the captain, and in those constable forces where they are exempt lieutenants, the exempt lieutenants as well.
And I understand.
Constables, would it?
Absolutely.
Constables don't get overtime.
They could have, if you voted on this as it is presented to you today.
I didn't know any.
Does it apply to commissioners too then?
Well,
and I can remove that exempt status if you'd like me to. I mean, that would clean it up a lot too.
So. Here's something else. I'd like to, if I may, we've waited this long. Is it possible, gentlemen, that we could defer this until next round? I want to talk to the budget office. In relationship to this, exempt employees and the issue of what our policy currently is, and because we keep, it's kind of like as we evolve, we keep changing policies, of which I'm good to do as we grow and whatnot. Don't misunderstand.
That's correct.
But if we're going to talk about exempt individuals involved as this is worded.
Is this a grant that's been written right now?
Yes.
Needs to be turned in or needs to be submitted?
Yes.
So here's the deal. We apply for these grants through Rebecca Ansley, TxDOT grant. We're given a lump sum of money. Like, for instance, it's the minimum is $12,000. It has nothing to do with Montgomery County applying any of their funding to paying that time and a half. We already have the money. All we're asking for is for y'all to approve us to be exempt from our current policy so that when it comes time for pay, most of these grants take place during a holiday period. Most people end up having to take off for a holiday period, so when they do, they can't take and get paid time and a half. This has been something that historically has been approved before in the past, but this last grant cycle, it was not. We had trouble fulfilling.
I think if you'd remove exempt from it, Constable, I don't think it would be an issue.
And I'm fine with that.
And as long as this is...
You can write the grant to where it applies to deputies, sergeants, and if some agencies, Precinct 1 and Precinct 2, I believe it is, their lieutenants are not exempt, so therefore they write their lieutenants into the grant. These would allow other agencies, in order to absorb some of those funds, to write their lieutenants into the grant.
And have y'all talked to Doty about this?
We talked to her this morning about it, yes.
What is your, Doty, can you come up and tell us your thoughts? Sorry.
Or do you have any about it?
I don't have many thoughts today. Basically, this is similar to what the DA does on their no approval weekend,
mm-hmm.
or no refusal, I'm sorry. And, I mean, that's the only thing I can say is they've taken this from what we've done in the past for the DA.
And this will only apply to the STEP grant and to the no refusal grant. This is not going to...
No, this has nothing to do with county monies as far as overtime.
It's coming from the grant.
We already have the money in the bank.
Okay. I just want to make sure that it's not, because what I don't want this is to give you guys an advantage over anybody else when it comes to, I took time off this week. I'm also going to get time and a half for the 8 hours I work later.
State and federal funding only.
But even so,
Amy, can you?
I still think we need to look at this policy, because I'm not real crazy about our guys working when there's a natural disaster, or anybody, when there's something that goes on and we have to take off and then we all get messed up on our time. I don't like that idea. If there's something that goes on where we ask these guys to go work step and keep our road safe and work this and work that, but then there's a holiday and they get penalized, in my opinion. The same way with us. If we're cleaning up after something and we have to, there's a holiday or whatever it is, our guys get penalized, and I think that needs to be looked at. I think that policy needs to be looked at and changed to where we don't penalize folks that we ask to come out there and work extra. I don't like that.
And Commissioner, in the Montgomery County Employee Policy Manual where it's written.
I'm sorry?
That policy is in the Montgomery County Policy Manual where it's written.
It's written as what, though?
That a non-exempt employee working a holiday, or they have the holiday off, or then they work overtime maybe on that Saturday and Sunday for a special project or whatever, they only get paid straight time.
Well, and I agree. I don't think that's fair. I really don't.
So if they take a day of vacation or sick leave, that's not included in their overtime or their compensation bank.
I'm all, Commissioner, if you and the judge want to review it and bring it back in 2 weeks,
with that in mind, Constable,
yes.
Workman's worthy of his hire, we want you guys to get all you can get, and we want you to be compensated. Happy horses win races,
yes.
Okay? The citizens, though, I think as well, though, are part of the herd, if you will. And I'd like to take a few moments to get with Jody, look at the policy, and then as we make a change, I like the fact that it's cost neutral. It's not going to bump our budget. We're talking about two different weeks here. Mm-hmm. But Jody is. Go ahead, Commissioner. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying we're talking about two different things here.
Difference would be is law enforcement, it would not be coming out of the county budget.
Yeah.
Coming straight from a grant fund.
Right.
But with commissioner employees that work maybe a disaster or whatever, it comes out of their budgets. Amy?
And the budget officer,
so,
Amy, has something.
Commissioners, between Rakesh, Melanie, and I we do believe that it's in the best interest for the county at this point to defer the item until we can work with the county attorney's office, make sure that it's abiding by federal law, because that's more important than any kind of law that you guys set. If you guys will give us so if you guys can give us, 3 weeks, we'll bring it back to the court before all the holidays do hit. If that's okay.
Is it too late to submit it if we don't do it today?
We've already submitted.
It's already
been approved.
Okay.
Okay. So
allowing us to spend that.
We can move on fairly quickly.
We're do it. Okay.
All right. Let's defer.
Give it. I'd like to get with Doug and whoever.
Okay. So do we have a motion to defer here?
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Opposed? Thank you, Constable.
Thank you, Constable.
Appreciate you. All right. As we move on now to our county auditor, consider an approved payment of accounts. Rakesh.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning. Good morning.
Item 12A, consider an approved payment of accounts.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Rakesh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Risk management. Who will be presenting? Oh, both. Okay.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Item 13A, consider an approved payment of property damage claims from county departments related to Tropical Storm Imelda. Authorized payment of said claims totaling $52,751.60 from the self-insurance fund.
Have a motion to approve.
Move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Gilbert, purchasing.
Good morning. The first purchasing item is to approve an agreement with LJA Engineering for design work at Post Oak Road for Precinct 1. This is the amount is $58,769.50.
Move.
Nope.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next.
Yes, sir. The next item is to approve a contract between Montgomery County and DPS. This is for crime lab services in the amount of $339,962.81, and this is in a non-departmental fund. We used to have it in our budget, and we put it in non-departmental.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. What was the amount of, but, that we budgeted for?
So this is a not-to-exceed contract, and so right now we don't have the full amount of the not-to-exceed in the budget. We are asking that the next court, when we bring carryovers, if you guys do want to fund the maximum not to exceed, which is not the history of what we've previously used.
So, well, my question again, how much did we budget?
Yes, so.
What was the not to exceed amount, I guess? Is
You budgeted $300,982.
$300,982. Well, that's close. We're only $30,000 off. Amanda, you don't agree?
No, I'm looking.
Okay.
I think.
He said 392. Yeah. You're about 50,000.
300,982. $300,982.
That's correct?
300,982.
Okay. So the other 39,000, how do we enter into a contract that's $39,000 more than
it's
the funds available on hand?
As you incur the cost.
Right. So historically, we've never even came close to the 300,000.
Right. So we don't have to have any sort of okay.
No. It's a not to exceed, correct?
Well, this is an estimate of what the total will be.
Okay.
So it incurs as we go along, month to month.
So okay. on things like this, kind of like indigent defense, will you kind of give us a monthly or update on where we stand on these things so we can see before we get into an issue to where we need funding?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Last year, Commissioner, we spent $190,000.
Oh, perfect.
So that's why I say it normally doesn't even come close to what we have in that line.
Good.
Okay. There's a motion on the table. We have a motion to approve. Let's do it again. Motion to approve.
Move.
Second. Okay. The discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Gilbert. All right, grants. Rebecca.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Item A, consider and approve the fiscal year 2020 Veterans Treatment Court grant application to Texas Veterans Commission in the amount of $200,000, no match required, for Montgomery County Veterans Treatment Court program. Please authorize Rebecca Andley to submit grant application electronically on behalf of Montgomery County.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next. I'm sorry. I did not.
It went so well. I don't want to say anything that'll mess it up. So
Judge, welcome. Have a nice day.
I just want to thank you.
So glad you're here.
I want to tell you that the program is just booming, and Judge Keogh, you have come and visited us before, and you're all welcome to come. Second and fourth Wednesdays of every month at 5:00. So we'll have one tomorrow. Session. But anyway, started with two brave participants, and now we've served 74, so we're doing really well.
That's
Thank
great.
You so much.
Thank
for,
you very much
Thank you,
for your support.
Appreciate it. All right, item B.
On items B, C, and E, if I could take those as one item, please consider and approve the NRA grant applications as stated on the agenda.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Item D, consider and approve the fiscal year 20 formula indigent defense grant application resolution to Texas Indigent Defense Commission for Indigent Defense Department. Please authorize Bernice Greathouse to submit electronically on behalf of Montgomery County.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any discussion?
Just a quick question.
Yes.
So I know we approve this grant pretty much every year.
Yes, sir.
But the one thing that, you know, one of the questions is if the grant ends, we have to continue the service. And on this case, we do have to continue the project if funding ends. But that's the case. I mean, we have to provide indigent defense no matter
yes,
what. So there's really no negative impact to the county on this. This is just additional funding to help offset those costs.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Making sure. Thank you.
All right. Is there a motion on the table? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. This time we're going to recess for public hearing with item number 16.
Consider the partial revision of Reserve W of Phase 1A Blue Jack National, partial replat number 1 to be known as Phase 1B Blue Jack National, and partial replat of Reserve W Blue Jack National Phase 1A, partial replat number 1. So to my knowledge, all deficiencies have been addressed as far as legal review. The HOA POA letter of no objection is on file. It's just a portion of the golf course which is being replatted into lots.
Is there anybody here to talk about it? Dan, is this ready to go? Okay.
This is all in Precinct 1? I thought all of Blue Jack was Precinct 2.
No.
This portion is up in
Precinct 1. So if you want to play golf, you just let me know. I get you right on in there. I get you on in there.
All right.
We need to reconvene court before we take action.
All right. We have a motion to approve.
Wait. Go ahead and
I'm sorry?
Reconvene court. No one's here. And now you can make a motion.
I reconvene. Court is back in session. Do I have a motion?
I move on 17A. And, Dan, thank you all for your work.
17A. 17A.
17A.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. Precinct 3, Commissioners.
All right. So I have a couple of different agenda items to review today. We'll just take them in order. The first one is to consider, discuss, and take action on, it says a presentation by BGE to edit the major thoroughfare plan. I'm not going to have them come up and present. What I really want to do is, in 2016, the court worked with HCAC to do an update to the major thoroughfare plan. In my opinion, it was a little bit rushed as far as certain areas, especially down in Precinct 3, would have liked to have had a little bit more public involvement during that process. And I know I have several roads that I would like to realign, shift alignments, delete from the major thoroughfare plan. And what I'd like to do is try to get the court to look at everybody doing this at one time. If not, I have had communications, and a precinct can just submit things on their own. I would use Brown and Gay to help us go through that process, or two precincts can do it on their own and just do a partial revision. But I saw today that, though I don't know the lady that presented, I'm not sure if you presented because this was on the agenda or not, but, I can tell you from the South County from the South County Mobility Study, there is no intentions of moving Gosling Road north. That's not going to happen. It's not anything that I'm interested in, nor the constituency that I represent. But there's also, it involves another commissioner's territory, so I don't mean to be speaking about that. I was just referring to the South County Mobility Study specifically and how the group that met for that really had no plans on that continuing northward. So is anyone interested in having the entire county move forward with updating the major thoroughfare plan, or do we just want to do it, precinct by precinct?
Let me, if I may make a comment, a few months ago, we chatted about this. Brown and Gay came and gave a presentation, and they have, as they shared, have done when they did the South County Mobility Plan, so much of that overlapped into the rest of the county.
Correct.
And that I think could benefit the whole county as we move forward. Again, I'm, as you guys know, I'm about staying in my own lane. And with all this, and that you guys are very capable of deciding what you want to do in your precincts, the upside to that is that we generally will get together anyway. But these guys have done a considerable amount of work already that I think as we have contiguous precincts to each other and as we're moving roads and all the things going on with drainage and everything else, it just makes a lot of sense as we think about a comprehensive plan that just updates the present thoroughfare plan.
Correct.
And which really, if you look at it, if you were to show it and put it up on the screen today, although it's a thoroughfare plan, it's like a spaghetti drawing. And to really take a hard look at intersections and people and the amount of people, and I would be in favor of that myself.
That's what any thoroughfare plan is.
What do you think, Commissioner?
Look like a spaghetti boat, but I want to echo what Commissioner Nowak says. I have no intentions at all of Gosling Road going any further than what it is today. I never have intended that. We even did a study one time a couple of years back or 3 or 4 years back looking at Old Conroe Road and Gosling Road. And all the study come back and say, no way in any way that you could even think about doing Gosling Road. So Gosling Road is completely off the picture. It's no way that'll ever be done. But there are certain ways that you can move things. We've got that in place now, that you can realign and take things and move things around. And that's in place right now today. So I don't know whether...
I agree, Commissioner. I have Brown and Gay doing this study for me over there now. I'm not aware of one that's ever been done in East County, and appreciate your work, guys, on that. And as it stands right now, we can realign in our own precincts. And I'm a stay-in-my-lane kind of guy most of the time, too. And I kind of appreciate everybody else doing the same thing. I'm certainly not going to get in any of your precincts and try to tell you what to do.
Dan, when did we redo the thoroughfare plan? 4 or 5 years ago?
We approved it in
2016.
We approved it in 2016.
Well, I agree. In a county like ours that's developing like we're developing, and I saw an article in County Magazine the other day, and we're going to be one of the fastest growing counties all the way through 2025. And when you do a thoroughfare plan 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of this development's not on the radar. And maybe it sounded like a good idea at the time to say, well, we're going to put a road from here to here. But as development occurs, those things need to change. And I think probably with the growth plan or the growth mode that we're in right now, we probably need to redo one every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. I agree.
Just because, I mean, it's going to develop. And these roads are become unnecessary or determinant to development, and it needs to be addressed, and I agree.
Okay, so can I entertain a motion then?
That we move to
update the thoroughfare, the county
thoroughfare plan, and Brown and Gay can help us through the process.
Sounds good.
All right, we have a second.
Second.
Okay, is there more, Commissioner? There's more discussion.
Do we need more time to figure out? I mean, this is the first time it's even been on the agenda right now today. First we've heard of it. Don't we think we need to put together a team I hate committees more than anything in the world, but don't we need to put together some folks of what we want out of this?
Well, how about we work with Brown and Gay to put something together and bring that back next week?
I think each commissioner can probably determine what they want to change or
precinct.
Do in their precinct.
And have already been working
or
on it.
Or whatever.
I'm fine with that. That's what y'all want to do.
But those development areas, they're popping up everywhere you look.
I agree.
And again, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, Brown and Gay has come and given us a pretty significant...
Do we have a contract with Brown and Gay yet? Do we have anything worked out?
No, we can. Well, they'll bring it to us next court.
You're going
to
pay for
approval.
Pay for my part. I think we all pay for...
You brought it up. You pay for it. Sounds
well,
good.
Well, we're going to vote on that next round.
Right.
So we have a motion, and we have a second.
So we got a motion. We're going to update the thoroughfare plan is what we're looking at doing.
That's correct, for the county.
We don't know what it's going to cost yet. We'll know that next
week. Bring something for us to look at and review. Just gives them to put it together.
Hmm. Okay, we have a motion on the floor. And we have had discussion.
We got to get HGAC involved in this because this is their map. correct? Is that right, Dan?
We don't have to have them involved. If we get them involved, it's going to be a lot more expensive. It's like you can do a mobility study with or without them. You can submit to them the changes to the
I understand that, but I don't
with them.
The current map is a product of the HGAC. The potential concern is that a lot of state statutes are based on that give county authorities based on a thoroughfare plan prepared by a local metropolitan planning organization. And so we might need some input from the county attorney's office to determine how, if we do create our own plan, how enforceable is that plan in light of the state statute?
Dan, this is not our own plan. This is supplementing the HGAC plan. But you don't, as I understand it, Megan can fill in some of the gaps, but okay. You don't have to have HGAC do it as a sanctioned study. You can work with another engineering firm and provide that information to HGAC.
I wasn't saying we need to get HGAC to do it. I think we need to consult with those guys.
Sure.
What we're doing and what we're trying to do this. But
HGAC must be coordinated with in depth.
Yep.
But because we are not trying to create a new plan, we are simply amending the plan to better suit the county needs. It can be done externally, but with heavy and intense coordination with HGAC.
Good. Is there any reason why they would not do this, Megan? I mean, we're looking at intersections. We're taking traffic counts. We're seeing what is the best way to do this. Stakeholders, the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Public involvement is going to be critical to seeing this succeed. Along with the county evolving, your plan has to evolve as well. And it can't do that in a vacuum or in a silo. And so you have to include your constituents, the people who live here, who want to be here. And that's all part of the process, and that's absolutely what would go into this.
Good. Thank you.
All right. We have a motion on the floor. Is there any more discussion?
Good.
If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Number two.
All right. Number two, consider and discuss issues and limitations of a transition of governmental services in the event of incorporation of the Woodlands Township. So as we all know, the Woodlands Township is going through the process of evaluating incorporation and what that would look like. And regardless of if one is for incorporation or against incorporation or doesn't think there's enough information to make a decision right now, this has an impact on the county, and how we all work together going forward is going to be really important as we move through this process. And what I want to do is clarify some information or misinformation that is surrounding both of these the topic of incorporation and how the county would help in that transition process. So in April of this year, the county, at the request of the Woodlands Township, passed a memorandum of understanding between the two entities that allows for the county to assist in the transition of services from county to the township or the city of the Woodlands, should that occur after a vote for incorporation at the ballot box. And there's as I mentioned, a lot of misinformation out there that people seem to think that if the city of the Woodlands were to incorporate, or the township incorporates and becomes a city, that the county taxes go away. That's absolutely not true. Just ask the people that live in the city of Conroe or Shenandoah or Oak Ridge North. You pay your city tax and you pay your county tax. So I want to be clear, if you incorporate, you pay both your city tax and your county tax. Secondly, there's a lot of confusion on if the township incorporates, who is going to take care of the roads, whose responsibility is it to take care of the roads, and most recently, there were some comments made that were a little disturbing or alarming, that says there's nothing that says the county can't take care of our roads. The Commissioner Riley, Commissioner Nowak, Commissioner Metz can't still take care of our roads. There's nothing in the law that prevents them from doing that. Well, there is. We do not have the statutory authority to go into a municipality and blanketly take care of your roadways. We don't do that for any municipality in Montgomery County. And should the county want to, or should the Woodlands want to contract for those services, it's real important that everybody understands that there would be a fee for doing so. And that fee would be for every piece of equipment that's utilized, for every man or woman that is on that particular job, for every piece of dirt or material that is used, the city of the Woodlands would have to pay for that. So that, and that would be a separate bill above and beyond what you pay in your current taxes, what you pay in your county tax or your potential city tax. For example, Precinct 3 sweeps the roads of the city of Oak Ridge North. Each month or each quarter, we submit them a bill for that service, and they pay that directly to the county. That's the same thing that would happen should the Woodlands incorporate. The other thing it went on to read that, well, if those services, that we should provide those services, and that we should do it because about 35% to 40% of the tax revenue comes out of the Woodlands, and it would behoove us to continue to serve the Woodlands, because if we didn't, you know, they should rise up and vote more supportive people into the commissioner's court, which I don't think that's a very positive way to promote an environment of working together. So again, if the city of the Woodlands becomes a reality, servicing those roads would be up to the precincts that overlap the township or the city boundaries, and it would take a vote of at least three of us on the court to grant that, and then there would be a fee for service. So if we sent a three-man crew with two trucks to fix a pothole, you would pay for three men, two trucks, and the materials that go into that pothole. And that would be for every single service provided. And again, we don't do that for any other city in the county.
Another Richard, if I may, in our resolution that we did with the township, and we basically said, look, currently we are doing these things, and as we move forward, we'll help you any way we can once we determine how we're going to move forward. Mm-hmm. But we will transition. There is nothing that is in that is permanent. I even think if we put a time limit on it, and if we Correct. Did do that, they're still doing research on it. And so from the perspective of, hey, we don't want to help our brothers and sisters in South County, that's not true.
Not at all.
We will do what we've been doing, but it's not a forever deal. I think we would agree with that. We agreed to that at the time. What are your thoughts, Commissioner Riley, about this whole deal? We've talked about this at some length here in the court.
We've heard that they at one time wanted a four-year transition plan, then a one-year, a two-year. I mean, it all depends on what kind of plan that we can come up with. I mean, it's not. I don't want it to be their plan bringing it to us. We've got to have involvement in it, or it'll never work.
Well, and we have to define the contract, how it would work, and county attorney's office. I don't know if we would use like standard FEMA reimbursement rates. How do we determine, you know, we have fees that we charge now when we go in and help an area, but maybe that would be a guideline, but we're certainly going to need some guidance. And then what does it mean to contract for these services, and how does that work? Because our primary responsibility is obviously going to be the county roads and facilities that we are required to maintain. So I think that's primary, and then secondary would be any service contracts that we have. So we'd have to work out how does that work, and it would need to be really clear that it would not be the city of the Woodlands directing the county to do certain things. It would be an agreement of certain things that would be done in a time period in which they'd be done in.
I think the only way you can do it is with a interlocal agreement. Once the Woodlands becomes a taxing entity, and it's project-specific, the council, city council makes a request to the commissioner to do work. We give them a price, the council approves it, and we do the project.
Well, if I may...
But it's project-specific.
Right.
Commissioner, before we get too deep in the weeds here on this, if I may, mm-hmm. we did have a, as we mentioned, the resolution that, based upon the will of the people, that we as a court would assist them with their transition. There was never an agreement of anything permanent or
correct.
The idea that they would hold the county court, if you will. I mean, I really don't know how to say it. And I'm a resident of the Woodlands. I mean, it's that they would hold us hostage to do something that we have never agreed to do, I think is a narrative that's misinformed. I'm not saying anybody's intentional about it, but it's misinformed. And I think as we go through this, I wanted to mention that, Commissioner, because we are not anti them moving forward to become a city. But if they're going to become a city, they should become a city.
What Commissioner Mitter is referring to is exactly how we do things now. I've got an interlocal agreement with the city of Magnolia. If they need something done, they'll come to us, and if we can do it, we will trial assist them. But we give them a price, and we give them a list of what it's going to take and how it's going to, and then their council approves it. Once we get that money, then we do the job. Mm-hmm. That's not what the Woodlands is looking for. They're looking for something different, completely different than that.
They want, from what I understand, daily maintenance.
Yes.
They want us to provide the same services that we provide today, post-incorporation.
But there's something to consider here is that much of this is coming up in the campaign. We have a number of individuals who are campaigning down there for the township, and so we're hearing different things based upon what mailing you get or what is said. And I've heard some things in a forum not too long ago that I'm thinking, man, where did they get that from? It's just not the way it is. And so, I mean, part of this rhetoric has to do with that, with these narratives that develop in a highly charged environment. As I recall,
there's certainly nothing we can tell them right now that's going to be different. We can't do that.
For sure, especially on those that are running for the office.
And really. I'm more concerned about just the, there are certain things or certain, township directors will say, well, we can just contract for the county for that, or we'll get the county to do that. Well, it's not that easy. There's a lot more to it than just saying we're going to, you can't assume that the county is going to do these things, especially when you hear a lot of things, that there's an anti-Woodlands bias on commissioner's court, or that... the county, I think that we all need to work together. And so the purpose of this conversation is just to say, look, we want to be there. We want to be a good partner. But it's not as simple as just saying we can get the county to do that. There has to be an agreement.
Well, work together means they have to work with us too then.
And there's legal issues here. I mean, we can't agree to do something as a court.
Right.
If county attorney says, no, you can't.
Correct.
I mean,
you're right.
That's where the rubber meets the road right there to me.
And this is hugely important now because the township is trying to put together their 5-year maximum tax rate and release that in December of this month, of this year. So they need to have a really good understanding of what does it cost to service the roads. For example, there's been some conversations or communication that the roads are concrete and they can last for 75 years. Well, I asked 5 engineers today, none of them think that the road life is anywhere near 75 years. You're talking 50 at the most, and most of the roads are built for a 30-year life cycle. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to discuss, and if the township needs more definition or direction from us on what those costs should be, I've tried to give the example that, look, about half of my precinct is the Woodlands and about half of it is not. I have about $9 million, give or take, as a budget. It's just under that. So if you say half of the budget goes to the Woodlands and half of it doesn't, that's $4.5 million. You got a portion coming from Precinct 4. You got a significant portion coming from Precinct 2. So I would probably set that bar at about $9 million if I were going to be setting, servicing of the roads.
I think we all agree that we want to help the citizens. Because they're working towards transitioning into a city. I don't think there's anybody here that is going to say we refuse to help them. But they have to approve this through an election. But at this time, I think it's speculation on the actual costs and whatnot, what this will look like until we get there. So the first step, as we'd mentioned and as you even suggested, okay, we'll help. So sure. Move on. Let's do this. And I know they're trying to calculate costs, but it's still speculation to discuss it here. I think one of the problems is to just feed the rhetoric that there is some type of a bias in one direction or another, when in actuality there's not. We have said we will help. We will help in the transition.
Absolutely. If I can tell you, if the people of the Woodlands get the information that they need to make a decision and they move to incorporate, nobody will work harder than me and our court to make sure that that transition is as smooth as possible.
Yeah.
But until we get there, we want to make sure that the information that is out there is truthful and meaningful. One of the things that I keep hearing is that we renegotiated our law enforcement contract and we now own the vehicles. The city or the township does not own the vehicles that are a part of the services for law enforcement in the township. Those are owned and titled in Montgomery County's name. There's a right of first refusal for the township should they wish to buy those at some point in time in the future. Another thing is that the county is only providing 9 law enforcement officers to the Woodlands. Well, according to the information in the law enforcement agreement that was ratified here in this court in April, there were 22 and a half, and that number is now 26.75, according to the Sheriff's Department. So that is far more than 9 people. We need to make sure that people understand that.
Commissioner, and so that we're clear here, surely this is not the official position of the township, but we have people in creating narratives, regardless, on Facebook, on social media, on things that basically, I mean, welcome to campaigning, and you know this, I know this, and it's so painful to listen, and at some point, because the posture of us, and I'm in total agreement with you, we'll help you. However, I guess the statement is we just seem to get on with what the truth and narrative is. It will be revealed. We're going to vote. They'll see what we'll do and what we won't do.
However we can, as long as our county attorney says we can do what we need to do, I'm not going to go above and beyond for anybody if I don't do it for everybody. That's how this is going to have to work.
And, Judge, I appreciate your comment, but one thing I want to make clear is if I thought this were simply campaign rhetoric, I wouldn't bring this up in Commissioner's Court. I have heard and read and seen statements publicly that are at least related to those that are closely affiliated with the township that make these comments, and we just need it to be very clear. Just like the first right of refusal on the building that we have the District 6 patrol office located in. We had originally worked with the township at their request to give them the first right to purchase this should the county ever wish to sell that or someone approach us to purchase it. And quite honestly, now a lot has changed, and I'm not sure that it would be in the best interest of the county to sell that anyway, but we certainly wouldn't sell it for $1 or $10 or some small amount of money down the road. I've been talking with the county attorney's office about this. We want to make sure that, even if we did want to sell it, that there would be some reasonable compensation involved for doing so. And if you look at the square footage of that building,
we would have to do that like anything else. We would have to get an appraised value on that. That's how I see that. I don't see it any other way.
And
that's what we would do with anybody else.
That's right. It's the taxpayer's building, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And then, we have Montgomery County road law keeps coming up. The county attorney's office has been working on that with us just to make sure. That's an old law. It's obscure. It's not something that Montgomery County.
What was that again? I'm sorry.
The Montgomery County road law. It's a 1901 law that has never been updated. It's substantially different from the Harris County road law, and it's really not even applicable. We are not going to go into a city and force a road upon them. We've never done that. We typically work collectively with a city to put a road in place if that's something that works out for both parties. So that is the gist of the comments I believe that I have on that particular agenda item.
Well, I think there's
more discussion.
Maybe one more thing, and I've had them, and BD and Amy can correct me if I'm wrong, but back in the day, we had what we call connector roads that tie state highways together that may go through a city limits, and we maintain. So that's an option that could pick up a couple of major thoroughfares they're worried about. I don't know. I don't know mm-hmm. where they go and where they tie in. Is that still available, BD? Or?
You talking about something like research that goes from 2978 yeah. all the way to 45?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know if but we call them connector roads.
Yes, yeah, so if it connects to a county road, major thoroughfare, to state road, it is proper to expend county funds on those roads. So, but yes, that's still available.
But it's the option of the commission.
Correct.
It's not a law that we have to yeah. do.
Correct. And the transportation code still provides that if it's within the city should grant permission. Or
right.
And
right.
It would require city to grant permission.
And we yeah. don't do that. Like, I don't take any, I don't care, take care of any of the roads in Shenandoah or Oak Ridge right now. And so if we were to open that up and say, oh, we'll take care of all of your connecting roads in the Woodlands Township, I think then you got the city of Conroe and Magnolia and so on and so forth. Yeah. And
it's your call.
Yeah. You know. Well, the three of us would have.
Well, yeah, y'all. I did some in Panorama. I had one that tied League Line to 830, and I turned it back over to the city. I don't know, a year or so ago, but maintained it for a number of years.
And I've kind of set the precedent. When I took office, I turned over Research Forest back to Shenandoah. Yeah. Precinct 3 was maintaining yeah. that, and I turned that back over to the city of Shenandoah once I took office.
Is there a stipulation on whether it is a home rule city where that applies or to a general law city and a starter city, if you will? Because I believe we're entering in under the, if they did it, they would enter in under the general law in the course of what the state requires, correct?
Yes. For the most part, the general proposition, which Commissioner Metter inquired about, applies to either a home rule or general law city. So
okay.
on that particular, there is no distinction between general law and home rule.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Any more discussion on that?
No. Now I just have one more. Consider discuss presentation by Darren Hess and Dan Wilds on drainage updates. And before y'all come up, or y'all can come, it'll take just a second. This has come up because a township director posted the following post, and I'm going to read this. It's going to take a second. Tropical Storm Imelda has now come and gone after spreading enormous misery and damage across our area. Many residents in Montgomery County were endangered and suffered significant property damage as a result. Thankfully for the Woodlands, we were spared the brunt of the rainfall. With this storm, the fourth major flooding event in the last 3 years, or I'm sorry, will this storm, the fourth major flooding event in the last 3 years, be the catalyst for revising our regulations on development as it pertains to drainage, or will we continue to ignore this rapidly growing threat to our communities? The ever-expanding development of our area is a vital economic engine that drives our economy. However, the massive clear-cutting of forests and the creation of thousands of acres of new impermeable surfaces are a major factor in increased stormwater runoff that is expanding the reach of the floodwaters into developed areas. Montgomery County has yet to address design standards for development more than 2 years after the devastation of Hurricane Harvey. The county is continuing to use the 100-year floodplain line as a standard for development. The Greater Houston Galveston Council Council's revision of the Atlas 14 rainfall charts makes it clear that the 100-year line is and will be routinely exceeded for high rainfall events. The solutions for stormwater control are not easily available, and many of the major projects will take years to implement. That is why it's vital that we start now to require developers to build at higher elevations and demand more stormwater retention as the county continues to urbanize. Montgomery County has Well, that's kind of the gist of it. Basically, that Montgomery County isn't doing anything. We haven't done anything with regards to rainfall to mitigate flood and drainage, or drainage changes, and to mitigate flooding. And we put together a letter, sent that to the township director. We put out a public release on all of the things that Montgomery County has actually done. And so Dan and Darren were going to come up and just kind of review some of the information publicly.
Hello again, Commissioners, Judge.
Dan?
The items in the memo that was sent out, I just want to sort of summarize these things, and then we can answer questions if there are any questions on these things. In January of this year, the county adopted rainfall data from Atlas 14 into our drainage criteria manual. What this does is this allows for more conservative designs for drainage systems in new developments. And we have also participated in some regional flood and watershed studies that are looking at the watersheds in Montgomery County, trying to determine, better determine, how they respond in these extreme rainfall events. Last fall, about a year ago, the Commissioner's Court authorized the county engineer to begin looking into revising the drainage criteria manual. That was done actually in conjunction with the Atlas 14 changes. We have slowed down a little bit on that in order to get some results from these watershed studies so that we can have better information on how we proceed in the future when we make, or when we're recommending, changes to the drainage criteria. But that is an ongoing thing. The county has also secured $36 million in grant funds for buyouts of homes with severe repetitive loss issues. The county is utilizing $12.5 million in community development block grant disaster recovery funds for two flood mitigation programs. We have applied for funding for two additional infrastructure projects, and the county has developed a work group that involves representatives that where we can get together and look at and identify projects and potentially identify funding sources that might be available for projects as we move forward. And that's sort of a brief summary on the information. I believe the memo is presented as a backup to the item on the agenda, and so I will entertain questions if there are any.
We had discussed this two courts ago, I believe, on the drainage study. And is part of this, you know, our friends to the south of us in Harris County, the city, and there are partners in this, obviously, through roads and drainage, and we're good neighbors. But there was almost to the point of accusation that you guys don't pay attention to detention up there. You know, we need to eliminate this peak flow, these studies that are coming in the future. Is this the same sort of thing that we're talking about here, that with that some of the accusations? I mean,
I guess the point trying to be made is, you know, number one, if we would just do what if we would just follow Harris County and implement a 2-foot building standard above the 500-year floodplain, well, that is a small-minded, one-size-fits-all approach that does not fit the needs of Montgomery County. Number one, where Commissioner Metter, the further north you go, the greater the elevation changes are, and to require a developer to put something 2 foot above up there is it doesn't make any sense at all.
And that would not stop the water flow from here to the Gulf.
And well, the other thing is, it does absolutely nothing for a developed area. If you are already a developed area, what it does do is, if you happen to flood and you become substantially damaged, then when you want to fix your home, you've got to move your home 2 feet above the 500-year floodplain. You talk about an exorbitant cost on the community. You talk about a bunch of vacant homes and people that are just going to, I mean, that's a terribly overly simplistic view. And to say that we've done nothing when we were the first to adopt, Atlas 14, we've sought, you know, millions of dollars. And we actually It was very frustrating to see this being thrown out there on social media. And I don't know that I've ever addressed social media in the courtroom before, but when you look at the fact that this is, this is a big deal. When you flood, it is life-changing. And like I told this court before, my mom flooded, 65-year-old widow. It's a terrible thing. She flooded in Creekside. She lives in Timmeron. And, what I can say about that is she didn't flood in the tax day floods. She didn't flood in the Memorial Day floods. She flooded in one of the most horrific flooding events that this city or this country has ever seen. And she may never flood again. So, I hate to see people, we've had a township director that's proposing that we need to start a flood control district. Well, hell, Harris County's had a flood control district for 40 years, and every dang bayou down there still floods. I mean, not that they don't do some good work,
right?
But you're never going to mitigate all of the flooding that you see. And every time after there's a flood, there's all this emotion, and I get it, and this need to do something. But, our obligation, I think, as commissioners and as a county, is where we can go in and we can do a cost-benefit analysis. There are certain projects that we can undertake that are going to improve drainage and flow in the area and mitigate flooding. We have a responsibility to do so. But to think that we've got roughly, 5,000, 6,000 structures that repetitively flood in Montgomery County. Darren, you remember the –
it's repetitively flood. That's probably a little high on the – that's on the high
side. Is it 5,000?
We saw 4,500 homes flood during Harvey. Repetitively flood, 2,500 to 3,000.
Okay, so in the majority of those are all pre-NFIP. So I was on the high – I was high. So we have, 3,000, let's say, or 4,000 homes or structures that repetitively flood in Montgomery County. It would be better for us to buy those out than try to – figure out how many hundreds of millions or billions would it take to keep those areas from never flooding again. And you're never going to do
that. You're not going to be able to, you'll never do that.
Because it's going to rain 12 inches over here today and 12 inches over there tomorrow or 15 or 30 or whatever that number is. And, I mean, you saw that most recently,
but
Commissioner.
One thing, Commissioner Matt, you got, 20-something inches of rain in 12 hours?
30. Well, in one place we got 12 in 2 hours, but overall it was 30.
That's going to flood.
My mom's 82 years old. She doesn't remember any events like that before. That's more rainfall than the Amazon rainforest gets in 4 months. We got that in 24 hours.
You can't deal with that. It's got to flood, and you got to deal with it after it's over.
I can show you places that were in the floodplain. Believe this or not, I'll be glad to show anyone that did not flood. I can show you places that were nowhere near the floodplain along the Peach Creek corridor that did flood this in the Imelda event, not any other event. It's strange, and there are a lot of people much smarter than me in my years of being in fishing and swimming in all those creeks and streams and watch what they do that are trying to figure this out. I don't ever remember this happening, and nobody that I can find can remember 30 inches of rain falling in the precinct 4 in that area in 24 hours. It's a very unusual event, even though it's not the world record. I think that's in Hawaii, but it is a significant and catastrophic event in 1,842 homes over there. People and my employees in precinct 4 flooded, as well as folks in the county attorney's office. So it affects us. It affects us all, and it is devastating. But I agree with Commissioner Nowak. We need to do everything we can to put a plan together. And
Dan, these studies that we've got going on right now, some of it's with Half and Associates, and it's the San Jacinto West Park and East Park and the San Jacinto River. I don't know what other studies we've got. Harris County Flood Control. How involved is the Corps of Engineers when you do these kind of studies? Are they involved at all?
I don't think the Corps of Engineers is involved much at all
in these
studies.
Ain't this all their responsibilities as these creeks and rivers and streams and gullies and things that we can't get in and do anything with? Ain't this all under their jurisdiction?
State of Texas.
Yeah, we consult. The Corps is definitely consulted, and some of the plans and other work that they've done is looked at. Sam is actually here and probably testify to that better than I can. But they are. I mean, studies aren't conducted without any regard to what the work that they've done and the input that they have. They're consulted with. The studies are just taking a look at all the data that we have and trying to formulate BCA best practices going forward. And I think that we're going to see that most of the BCAs, the positive side of BCAs that we're going to see moving forward is property acquisitions.
Well, and again, study, I understand studies, but I think we've studied it to death. I guess what I'm getting at with the Corps, I can show you places on the San Jacinto River, on Lake Creek, and on Stewart's Creek where there's trees 4 feet diameter laying all the way across the creek that's going to be a dam, that has been a dam. And the studying should be, let's clean that out and let this water go instead of...
But it's going to go to Harris County.
I can understand that, but it's going to get out of here. I'm sorry. Everybody needs to clean out their gullies and creeks, but you got to get the Corps as the ones that got to do that. We can't do that.
We actually have a meeting this Thursday with some individuals to look at just that, to going in some of our creeks and reworking some of those mitigation efforts that could occur in the creeks.
You don't have to rework it. You don't have to take one drop of dirt out of there. Get the crap out of there, right, and the water will be gone.
That's correct.
That's all you got to do.
We're looking at leveraging about 4 different grant programs to successfully accomplish that goal. We'll have some of those discussions further on Thursday. Also, before the next court, you'll see another application come before you to apply for another funding stream for more property acquisitions. This court, this county, these two offices, everybody is continuing to take steps every day, every week to try and mitigate these future disasters, because we know we will see another one.
And, you know,
so no matter what social media says, we're not sitting on our hands.
No.
That's exactly right.
To you, you know, Dan, you've spent 17 years here. You were the floodplain administrator. You've got a whole team that works hard in the county engineer's office, and Darren. You know, I just want to apologize on behalf of the naysayers that you are not doing anything. We know what you're doing. We appreciate what you're doing. This court is focused on trying to do what we can when it makes sense, where it makes sense. Sure. And so, you know, we're proud of the work that you do and hope that you'll stick around and continue it for a long time.
Thank you, guys.
I echo that. I got one more question to ask. What about the outdated flood maps that I keep hearing about that need to be updated? I mean, we're
okay. Well, the maps were updated by FEMA in 2014. Now, that was based on topography.
Right.
The majority of the models for the floodplains in Montgomery County are 30.
That's what I mean. I'm sorry, the models.
Right. And those are basically the original models done when we first got the maps.
Okay.
Those need to be, it wouldn't hurt to get those updated. The county does not have the funds to do something like that.
What are we looking at? Do we know?
Probably $20, $25 million to do the whole county.
And can you explain the purpose of the maps, though? Because
the maps are, the title of the map is a flood insurance rate map. And those maps are prepared by FEMA to provide rating for flood insurance policies. They have evolved over the years into a map that's supposed to predict where things flood, but that's never really been the purpose of those maps.
Right.
And they are FEMA's maps to provide rating for their flood insurance.
That's the purpose of them.
Yeah, and they're not really accurate in all places, for sure.
And just because you're not in the floodplain on that map does not mean you will not flood, as a lot of your people saw that are not in the floodplain.
So if you think about it, the people that should be paying to update those maps are the flood insurers, because they're the ones who stand to benefit the most out of having the most accurate information when it comes to the risk that they are taking on when it comes to flooding.
Well, I would put out there that if FEMA wishes to obtain the proper rate for their risk, they should update their maps.
We'll FEMA. Put it out there.
I just did.
Both of them.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Really
thank
appreciate
you,
it.
Gentlemen. Thank appreciate you. It so much.
All right. Sorry, commissioners and judge. I know that
no problem. Good discussion. At this time, we're going to Move to executive session. The court recessed for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to which Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071, 551.074. We will be back. Back from executive session. Proceed. Is your microphone on? If you would start over.
Sure. On agenda item 19A, in response to what we would like you to do.
Oh, sorry. 19A, we would ask the court to entertain a motion to opt in to the National Prescription Opiate Litigation National Class Action. As we discussed, we currently have a pending lawsuit that is part of the multi-district litigation that is potentially subject to this class action. We are recommending that we opt into the national class.
I move.
Second.
Any discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. There's another item.
Yes, C, no action on B, and then C, I would like to make a motion to give Judge Mark Keough the ability to make a decision on the appointment, employment, evaluation, or reassignment of duties or discipline or dismissal of a public officer or employee with regard to the Director of Environmental and Consumer Health. So I move on that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, as we continue on, my question is, as our citizens, is there anyone here who has, yes, would you like to speak? If you would, come to the microphone, and if you would state your name for the record and also the purpose.
Hello, my name is Linda Harper, and I would like to have my voice heard again on the abatement of tax issue. Last court, there were five private businesses that were asking for tax abatement. And I believe it's a big issue how these companies with their semi-trucks are going to be tearing up our roads. One of them was going to use, I believe, chemicals to levitate metal, liquid metal to solid metal. So there's definitely a future hazmat potential there. All these are foreseeable detriments to the county with air pollution, ground pollution, that I'm speaking of the ones last week, and also all the semis clogging up our roads as our county grows and grows and grows. We don't need tax abatements for these companies that are probably going to come in our area anyway because our county is so great and we have the 45 freeway, we have a lot of roads, and all their private semis are going to be tearing up our roads. And I hope that the commissioners vote no on tax abatements for these companies that are requesting special tax abatements. Thank you.
And I thought you were with the Friends of the Library.
Well, I am.
Linda, thank you very much for your comments.
Amy, can we?
Is there anything miscellaneous that we need to do?
Yes, I have a question on the notice.
Commissioner.
Amy, is it appropriate to comment on the notice, or is that just for notice only?
We're actually going to bring those back and take those up in a future agenda item. Right. It's just telling you when we will be taking them up.
Okay, then in miscellaneous. One of the things that I would like for the tax assessor to bring before we review the next round of tax abatements is I do think we need to even pay more particular attention to 381s, TERS, and tax abatements when it comes to agreeing on them. And we might need to look at tightening, one, making sure that we have a sharp enough pencil to attract businesses to this area when it is truly a tool or a lure to bring them here.
Absolutely.
But we also need to make certain that we understand the negative implications to the budget when we grant these types of things. For a city, it's really different. They can abate a property and still receive sales tax dollars. When we abate something, we get nothing in return for some point in time. And it's real important when you look at TERS and 381s, because those are you're taking money away that would go to law enforcement and other areas before you even have the opportunity to spend it. So we need to be very careful in the wise granting of these. They're powerful tools. They're good tools. I'm not against them at all, but now with SB2 and the limitations that are on us as far as spending, commissioners, judges, it is going to be incumbent upon us to really review these very carefully. And Amanda, I'd like for you to work with Tammy and give us an idea. We have 16 active tax abatements right now. We have 20 that have been granted. We have three TERS agreements, and we have four 381s. And we really need to get an idea of, every time we approve one, what does that do to our bottom line for the next 5 years in the budget process?
You know, an easy way to do that is as you mentioned, work with the tax assessor collector. And a number of these that we've done, I sat down with her and I talked to her specifically about the property, what the property was worth, who owned the property, are we getting any tax money on it right now, what about ad valorem, what about the inventory that's added up at the end of the year,
yep,
and what is the impact of everything that we have all built here in this community, what you all have built here in Montgomery County, and what is the lure of a company to come here as opposed to some other company. So yeah, I think you're exactly right. And as we talk about that, we continue to have those discussions.
Yeah, commissioners, what I would say, let's end this discussion. But I think it would be an appropriate topic for another session as to discuss how tax abatements are reviewed, because we do a lot of the things you're talking about in the preliminary process. So I do think that would be a good subject for agenda at a later time.
Can you, Commissioner, can we make sure we get that on the agenda and have our tax assessor collector and whoever else needs to give us that presentation?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's all I have for miscellaneous.
All right. Is there anything else? If there is not, we have a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
11:42 a.m.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much for being here.